Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good.
What did you guys do on your field trip yesterday?
We went to the apple orchard.
Nice.
It's a field trip I've been on now for like, I don't know, 5 straight years or something.
Sure.
I think Mabel went when she was 3 and 4 at Moscow Day School. And then she also went in kindergarten and she also went in first grade. And then this was Marcus's first time.
Yeah, well, you'll probably, by the time he's gone his third or fourth time, then you all have another kid that's starting school.
Yeah. There you go. Did you listen to Kornheiser yesterday?
Yeah, I don't know if I've listened to the whole show or not.
What part? You've heard him talking about the John Wall thing, right?
Yeah.
He was dead on. He took 22 shots.
22 shots. I noticed that too.
I can't wait to listen to him this morning.
I know. He's going to be so happy.
Oh, I know. I had that.
I had that. Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
I thought that was really so great.
My favorite part of yesterday's show, I think it was yesterday's show, though, was with Feynman, and they were talking about how Kornheiser said that Thomas Boswell and David Eisenhower were in school together and that they played the APBA baseball game together.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. I actually watched part of that Wizards game last night.
Well, I have to say, for a team who has big ambitions this year, if you're going to talk smack, then you really should go out there and just destroy the Lakers because they're not that good.
It doesn't matter.
And to go out there and lose.
It's the season. Like, they're 3-1.
Yeah, but it tells you everything you need to know about them.
Yeah, here's the deal. Here's the deal.
It tells you everything you need to know about them. They'll do the same thing this year they did last year and the year before. You know, it's the same team.
I think they're going to represent the East in the NBA Finals.
No, they're not. They'll.
Yeah, they're not.
Because anybody that wants to can beat them in the fourth quarter, it seems like.
Because they can completely turn it on.
Yeah, like they did in the final game against Boston last year.
That's what they're going to do this year. There was no stopping Isaiah Thomas last year, and I would say that the Cavaliers were going to win it all because of Isaiah Thomas, but he's hurt, and so I think that I'm afraid he might be done. I think he might have spun himself out last year. But Isaiah Thomas was fantastic in that Wizards series. He was just on fire, and the Bullets still almost beat him. So
I was going to say Wall certainly wasn't in the fourth quarter. So
I think that they're going to win the East. And I watched that game last night, and you know it's regular. It's early regular season, so it's the preseason. All this is like time trials to set up for the tournament. You know, this is the preseason. This is the preseason round robin seeding for the tournament. And they looked very good. And I'll tell you who's going to be a big player for them is Jody Meeks. Meeks is really good. Meeks is really good. I mean, he's like a Vinnie Johnson kind of guy. The only issue is I got to find out what's going on with their Markieff Morris guy, because that guy was great at the end of the season last year, and he's not playing yet. And so I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's just hurt. I think they're going to be really good. And Meeks is like, I mean, he's a great. He's even gotten better than when he was in college. He's a great shooter.
Oh, I would hope so, Eric. He's been in the league for 10 years.
So anyway, yeah, I think they're going to go to the final.
Well, you know, you forget now. You know, Detroit very oddly signed Meeks to a huge deal, right? When what's his name became the coach in Detroit a few years ago.
Yeah, I don't know.
The guy who had led Orlando to the championship, what is his name? Anyhow, when one of the first signings he made was Jody Meeks to a big contract. Okay. It was like $15 million a year or something.
Hmm.
And everybody thought, well, this is insane.
Right.
Why is he doing this?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the way that guy structured his teams, you know, he liked to have three-point shooters. You know, when they won with man, what is their coach's name? Anyhow, when they won or when they went to the finals that year, you know, it was like a whole bunch of three-point shooters around my God, I'm getting old. Around what's his name, the center? Dwight Howard.
Yeah. Oh, Dwight Howard. Okay.
Right. And so I think the thought was, you know, he was getting Meeks because Meeks at that point was shooting about 42% from three.
Yeah.
And that was going to kind of be his key shooter. But then Meeks never performed. I mean, he was hurt.
Yeah.
He got hurt almost immediately after getting there. I don't even think he played hardly at all that first season. And when he came back, he wasn't himself. It wasn't until last year that he started shooting half decently again. And by that point, I think they'd already traded him. So
yeah. Well, he looked fantastic in the first half last night. I only watched the first half. And the Wizards at that point through the first half, I mean, they just – anyway, I think they're going to be quite good. And I'm sure they just sleptwalked through the second half and got beat. But Meeks shoots from his hip, and he, like – I mean, he's so much fun because he just, like – he catches and releases. You know, there's, like, no –
right.
I mean, he's totally unconscious shooter. It's so much fun. I mean, I guess – I don't really remember watching – I kind of know the reputation of World 3 more than I actually remember watching him play. And really, that's true for even, like, Vinny Johnson and stuff like that. But he's, like – he's along those lines. I mean, he just catches the ball and he just from anywhere, he just immediately fires and he like shoots it from way low, which is really cool. Anyway. So yeah, I'm very excited about the Wizards.
Stan Van Gundy.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
And, who is the other person we were wondering about? Morris?
Yeah, what's the deal with Marquise?
I'll look him up while we're talking.
Oh, okay.
Try to figure out what's going on with him.
So, yeah, this is going to be great. The Wizards are going to the finals.
Well, I did say in my thing, this is their year.
Yeah.
Like, if they're going to do it, I feel like for some reason this is the year.
Yeah.
Marquise Morris, he underwent surgery for a sports hernia, and he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
In September, so he should be back.
Yeah, you want all your players to be hurt in the early season. That way they don't wear down so much
right.
late. So that's good. They just have to get in. And they're 3-1. They're doing great.
I think what disappointed me was just the fact that, like, there's times with this team where they really show up and play, like against Cleveland last year in the regular season and stuff like that. And then there's times where they just sort of disappear. And I don't – it'd be nice to see them put together a whole season where they're really into every game the whole season. Just – I don't know why. I just feel like that's kind of important. But
sure.
But – of course, more than anything, they just have to keep Bradley Beal healthy. And
Yeah, they just got to get to the, they got to get to the end with all their guys healthy, and they got to somehow go in the top eight.
Yeah, well, they should.
And I want them to have Meeks because that would be exciting.
I think everybody's thinking they'll finish top three this year.
Yeah, right? I hope so. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what everybody's predicting.
I think that's the expectation.
Third or fourth last year, right? Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody's quite sure. I mean, Boston, it's going to take a while to figure out what they're doing, so I don't think anybody's...
They lost one of their main guys for this year, for the whole season. So.
Yeah, plus, didn't they only have, like, three guys returning from last year or something? So it's a whole new team, so...
The whole team. Yeah.
But... I don't know.
So I figured you'd just today want to talk all about the NFL since you're really into you're following the Byron Maxwell transactions
so
now.
Can you answer something?
Like following the Twitter feeds of all the Dolphins assistant coaches.
Well, this will tell you how close I'm following things.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me, did Matt Moore start the game? Did,
nope. No.
Oh, okay.
No, Cutler got hurt in the game.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
He had ribs broken or injured. I think he has some broken ribs. But anyway, they think that he's going to miss tonight, but they do expect him back next week. So I don't know if that means that the ribs weren't broken.
They're not really going to go back to him, are they?
I don't know. Sounds like it.
Oh, God.
They're 4-2. They're 4-2. He's doing great. It's the Cutler era.
Well, you know, Cutler has never lost more than 6 games.
There you go.
No, never won less than 6 games. That's it.
Yeah, there you go. See? He's about to do it again. No, they're doing really well. They're 4-2. They're finding ways to win. They've come back from, let's see. So they definitely come back from 17-14 down in games this season. And they were significantly behind in the first game of the year. And I forget how much, but they came back and won that one too. So, I think we've just got a really good coach. And so this is exciting. And, you know, President Trump gave me cover that now I watch the NFL as a support of human rights and free speech. And so I'm past all those qualms. So here I am. You know, I'm fully in. I'm fully in. That's my favorite thing he's done as president.
Giving you a cover.
Giving me cover to follow the NFL again. And it turns out the Dolphins are great. They're 4-2. So, yeah. Things are looking up. We're bearing down on Christmas. The trees finally turned out in front of the house. It's good stuff.
Well, the good thing for Miami is their schedule is kind of weak.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're huge.
The teams they're playing this year just aren't that good. Baltimore's horrible. Right? I think you and I could keep Baltimore from scoring.
I don't know. We'll see. You know, it's every week. I mean, you know, you never know what you're going to get. So they're all NFL teams as far as I'm concerned. And, you know. I don't care how bad the teams are that they beat or, you know, if they lose, I'm not going to get that down about it.
Look, a win is a win.
A win is a win.
You know?
I have stuck with this team for the most part through these horrible seasons. You know, slog through, and this is great. You know, we had a coach that was snorting cocaine, offensive line coach who was snorting cocaine, and I'm telling you, that's still better than the stupid bullying things from 2 years ago.
Oh, I'm with that. At least he left.
5 years.
They didn't try to make excuses for him.
That's right. That's a huge improvement.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah. Did you hear my thing? Did you hear my message I left you about the Saints?
Yeah, yeah. So I figured that had to be Marino. That's amazing about Breeze.
So I thought that was really cool about Breeze.
So tell what the stat is again.
So the stat is anytime that Drew Breeze has had a defense inside the top 25, which I think has only happened like 4 times in his career, he's finished with at least 11 wins.
Yeah.
And so that's one reason why a lot of people, like Football Insider type people, are looking at this Saints team and thinking, well, you know,
maybe they're going to be.
Their defense is actually pretty good. So,
yeah. They could win.
Well, and the comparison they made was that they said, you know, Breeze and Marino essentially have had the same career. Mm-hmm. You know, that Marino had these horrible defenses, and anytime the defense was half decent at all, he did great.
Yeah.
And the difference they pointed out was that Breeze got to go to a Super Bowl when he was older.
Yeah.
Where Marino, you know, went his rookie year. So it's kind of, you know.
Yeah. Of course, Breeze won. And, you know,
well, but that's what they were saying, though. They think that's one of the reasons, right? Is that he got to go at a time when he and his, you know, everything around him was more mature and they're more prepared for the moment.
Yeah. My dad would have said about all this, like, I'm totally with you, and I think that's an impressive point. And it does make me think that, oh, well, that's probably true, that the Saints will probably come out of the NFC. But my dad would point out that these things are actually connected. And that the problem, he always felt like the Dolphins defense wasn't good because of Marino. His thing was that the Dolphins scored too quickly and kept their defense on the field for too long.
Right.
And so it was just that it would wear out, and then the statistics would be, but it was the same guys who were like a great defense with a less explosive offense. That anytime you have an explosive offense, that was his thing about Dan Fouts too, was that Fouts just scored too quickly and it was out of balance. And the Chargers defense, they were fine. It was just that you can't keep defensive players out there for that long.
Yeah, I think your dad's wrong on that one, but
I did too. I suspect that is incorrect, but
well, it would actually be interesting to go back and look at the time of possession stats for those Dolphins teams.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and I think he would even say, he regardless of what statistics you would throw at him, he would just continue to press his point into a more arcane thing that could not be measured ultimately and hold his ground. But I think he would even say it's not necessarily raw time of possession. It's the amount of time, like, of the breaks. And so, like,
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's the rapidity of the turnaround.
Yeah, but time of possession would balance that out, right? Yeah, you might have a quick score here, but.
Right. But then if you give it up quick, then you're out on it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sure those stats are out there somewhere. So.
He didn't like Marino, and he really hated Shula. So.
Why did he hate Shula?
Oh, he hated Shula.
Really?
He totally believed Shula threw the Colts Super Bowl. You know, he totally bought it.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the Johnny or the Earl Morrill,
right?
Shula being in cahoots.
So he never got over that.
Yeah. So he was down on that, and he really, you know, he thought Shula was just like way overrated and all the stuff. And I don't know why. I mean, who knows why? Then he really thought, he thought that the Marino draft pick was just awful. And then he did kind of come around to like Marino, but then he thought like Shula was holding Marino back. So it was just one thing after another.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it's funny because when they were talking about Drew Brees a few weeks ago, when they first were talking about the stat. Of course, these guys, you know, I listen to these shows, and I mean, these guys are all like in their 20s. I mean, they're so young. It's ridiculous. And, you know, they're talking about how, well, you know, they've never seen a quarterback like that. They've never seen a quarterback stuck in that kind of situation, you know, like Drew Brees.
Well, you have.
And all I kept thinking the whole time was, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, you've seen that.
Yeah. And, so it was funny to hear him a few weeks later say, yeah, you know, we added more data. And
yeah.
It's like,
found the other guy. The NFL Network, NFL Films, they've got a series called A Football Life or something like that. I think that's what they call it. But they debuted one on Marino this year. And I actually meant to, like, watch it on the night it premiered, and I still failed to see it. I haven't seen it yet, but it looks very good. So I think I underrated Marino the whole time he was playing because he was so great, like right at the outset. And so
it's hard to know because they were such an up and down team, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just hard to know, I think, how good he really was and how good the Dolphins, you know, what the Dolphins could have been with a different defense or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think about that with him a lot. Like, it's just hard to know. I don't know. I don't know. I was thinking about the Dolphins a lot lately in terms of the Super Bowl and going that year and how long that's been.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, after that 85 season, they kind of struggled for a few years. And I don't know. And I kind of forgotten, I guess, how Marino – I'd forgotten how futile so many of those years were, you know.
They came – let's see. In It's the 84 season when they go to Super Bowl.
Right. They went 14-2 that year. Okay. And the next year, 85, of course, you know, they lost in the conference championship. They went 12-4 that year.
Yeah, then, right. They lost New England, right?
Right.
That's the one your brother says that was that's the crusher.
Right.
You know. Because they'd already beaten the Bears that one time. So.
And then they lost 4 years. The next 4 years, they didn't win more than 8 games.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that when they fell off? Yeah. Well, that's when I was in college, so I wasn't rooting. So
I wasn't following that close either. So
yeah, they fell off because of our lack of, because we weren't the most sincere children in the pumpkin patch.
There you go.
The Great Pumpkin. Yeah.
But you know, but it's funny because if I was to go back in time, I mean, the thing I always think about the Dolphins was that, with Marino, I always thought they had a chance to win. You know,
yeah.
It was just that simple.
Right.
Like, I just always thought, well, they got a chance, you know.
Right.
I remember when I was living in Philly and I would go, I got to really watching the Dolphins all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it was toward the end of his time there. But I just remember always thinking, well, they've got a shot, you know.
Yeah.
And those teams weren't awful. I mean, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Jimmy Johnson.
They were building back under Johnson, for sure. I mean, they were getting turned around, but then his life got so sketchy. Man, Mom hated Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah, her and me both.
Yeah, you two really did. That's what lost my brother Sam. I think he, at that point, that's when he quit rooting for him at all. I think it was with Jimmy Johnson. Pretty sure he stayed with them through Marino and Shula. But then he just like, I mean, he really did. I mean, he really turned over, and he's now a Colts, has been a Colts and Saints guy ever since then. And
what? I think it was, how did he go from being Dolphins to Colts?
So he went to Colts because he had already started rooting for the Colts because they're in Indianapolis, and he wasn't out. So, you know, he'd go to the games every once in a while, and he'd started to like them. And and then he really got into the Saints once they got Breeze, because Breeze was at Purdue when his sons were at Purdue. So he'd go to those football games. And so he rooted for Breeze then. And so, yeah, he totally turned on the Dolphins.
It's funny, they were ragging on the Dolphins the other day on the Bill Barnwell show.
Yeah.
Talking about Jarvis Landry.
Yeah.
And they don't understand why the Dolphins haven't signed him to a deal.
Yeah.
They were talking about, you know, all these bad signings the Dolphins made, and then you got Landry, and
right.
Their thing was, well, I guess he just hasn't proven enough to them. You know, that's what they were joking about.
Yeah. He's a pretty productive guy. He's a pretty productive guy.
That was one to them where they were like, this makes no sense. You know, why aren't you signing this guy? Like, what does he have to prove?
Yeah, and they like, it's not like he's like some big surprise. He was like a second round draft choice or something like
that. Yeah.
So
I don't know, it's strange. Right. He'll probably end up at New England next year.
Yeah. Like Welker.
Patriots.
Well, they're 4-2. So you're probably going to be watching tonight, right?
Are they playing tonight?
Yes, they play tonight. They play the Ravens tonight.
I didn't know that. Sorry.
I figured you were watching. You were on that Byron Maxwell release. Like, it's like within 30 minutes of me even hearing about it, you already had your commentary.
It was on
Google alert set up, and
it was a headline story on USA Today. kind of making fun of the Dolphins. But no, I'm going to a football game tonight.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah.
Who's playing?
It's a first through second grade league. Flag football through the Parks and Recs.
So are they just handing out cigarettes to the kids too?
Yeah. Actually, you know what's funny? We went to one of these games already because it's one of the kids that's playing is like Mabel's best friend.
Yeah.
And so we went to one of the games and it was, and I thought, you know, I could actually get into flag football.
Yeah.
Like I could do this. I don't need tackling. This would be okay with me.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
The best part of the game.
Yeah.
The best part of the game was there was a kid at one point, he took a handoff and he just started running in the wrong direction. Like he took the handoff and he just started running the opposite direction. So all the parents, you know, are yelling and he's kind of weaving around like he's trying, I don't know what he was thinking, but
yeah.
He's kind of weaving around and all the parents are yelling at him to, you're going the wrong way. And then a kid from the other team is running after him. And when he catches up to him, he just pushes him down. And the whole crowd's reaction was like, oh, because there's no tackling.
Oh, my gosh.
And the kid's down and he's out. You know, he's like hurt. And of course the kid who pushed him down, his team gets penalized, you know, for tackling him. And it was so funny.
Well, that sounds good.
Yeah. It was actually, it made me realize, so I could watch flag football. I don't need tackling. Like it's football itself is actually fun. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the ball is so fun because it bounces so many different directions.
Well, and you know what was funny about the flag stuff, too, was you realize how crazy it was. I mean, at one point, this one kid went straight up the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you just assume somebody's going to grab the flag.
Yeah.
You know, you see everybody's reaching for the flag.
Right.
But and then Audi pops and he runs, you know, like 50 yards for a touchdown or something. Yeah, sure. So.
Yeah, it's not automatic. You have to have some skill to be able to catch the flag.
So that'd be kind of cool. I was thinking there'd be some guys who were just amazing at grabbing the flag.
Yeah, right.
Like some defensive players.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like two-handed touch, which is all speed-based.
Right. You know?
Yeah. It actually takes another coordination skill. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can still stiff arm and stuff like that and actually have effect, you know.
I think they should just go to – remember that game that we used to play with the two blow-up guys? And or with chairs, yeah. You know, throwing the ball to the chairs.
Right.
That's you blow up, guys. That's a football game. That was a great game. That's what we should do on our trip next summer. So we should just play that game all the way
just across. Just play that all across country?
Yeah. We stopped at some field. I've got pictures of us at some field in Maryland somewhere one time where we stopped and played.
I forgot about that game, actually.
Yeah, it was fun. We used to play in Cohee's backyard.
One of my favorite games to play when I was a kid by myself was at some point, I guess in middle school or so, my parents added on to the house.
Yeah.
And on the side of the add-on, they built on a little porch, like a little patio. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't very deep. It was kind of shallow. But – what I would do is take a golf ball and a baseball mitt.
Yeah.
I'd pitch the golf ball off the brick wall.
Right.
And then field it. And that was kind of how I would play a game.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Anyhow, I've realized like our new house has a perfect spot sort of do a similar thing.
Yeah.
So I've started doing that when I'm outside with the kids. Like while they're playing in the backyard, I start playing my baseball game.
And then you get mad at them when they want some attention.
Oh, gosh. They always want attention. What's up with that?
I know.
I'm playing here.
I know. I try to come up with these like parallel play games, and it only works for so long. And then it's like.
Take it a minute or two, man. So.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. It is fun. That stuff is fun. I've played. I've got a way that I play football games, although I couldn't quite remember. We recently went to the beach, and I remember that I have a way to play football in the waves, like jumping in the waves, where I'm always on defense in that game. And but I can barely jump in the waves anymore. It makes me so dizzy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really. Yeah, I can't do hardly anything like that anymore. Like I can't ride a water slide. I can't anything that sloshes me around. It just makes me so dizzy.
That's weird.
Yeah. So
you need glasses.
What's that?
It sounds like you might need glasses.
Yeah, you know, it could be that. I mean, could be that.
Because I found that when I started wearing my glasses,
mm-hmm.
and then I would go without them.
Yeah.
Like going to the pool, doing certain things like that, would make me really dizzy.
Hmm.
So I got to where I just had to wear my glasses all the time.
Well, that's interesting because I am right on the brink of it. I mean, I wear cheaters to read.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, you know what happened with me was I realized that by the end of the day, my eyes were just really tired.
Yeah.
And I finally went to the eye doctor, I guess this was about 3 years ago now. And she said, well, you know, when you were younger, your muscles could compensate for the eye problem you have, for the vision problem you had. So you always had 20/20 vision, you know. Okay. But as you get older, the muscles get weaker. They can't compensate as much.
Hmm.
And so even though you had some vision issues before, you never knew them.
Oh.
But now you're realizing you do.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. So. So it could be a similar thing.
Yeah, that could very well be. Well, that'd be great because it's fairly, yeah. Well, that's interesting.
It made a big difference for me. I think the frustrating part is, you know, once you start wearing glasses, then when you take your glasses off, you can't see at all. It's like.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm sure your muscles. Those muscles, like once you give them the help, then.
Oh, yeah. They're like, forget this. Okay,
done. I did a story. I think I may have told you the story, but about them. Have I told you about the guy who, that part of his job is he demos the IoT in his own home? He works for a big company. I'm not going to say what it is, but did I tell you about the story?
No.
Okay, so there's this guy, he works for a big software company, and I did a story with him, and the deal, part of his job is that he goes up to Best Buy every weekend, or wherever he buys his consumer electronics, and anything that has some kind of networking or monitoring capability, he buys it on the company dime and installs it. And the deal is that his job is to live at the bleeding edge of connected consumer technology,
right?
So everything's networked in his home.
And I'd love that job.
You what?
I'd love that job. That sounds like fun.
Well, now I'll tell you why you may not. He says his life, I mean, he's only kind of joking. He says his life is hell now. And the main reason is because the mean time to failure in manufacturing, the standard is basically still in consumer electronics. It's still basically, if your machine only breaks down once a year, you're doing okay.
Right.
That's the quality you want to build to, and that's fine as long as you've got like 50 network devices in your house. But once you go to 300,
yeah, now that's what I was gonna say. The only problem is he's living now with so many devices.
Yeah, and sometimes it's an indirect thing because they're networked, and right. So if one thing goes down, you may see it show up in another thing. And so he says he's constantly debugging. And by, you know, the expectation is 5 years now, 5 years out from now, he's going to have, you know, thousands of devices connected across his house. So that's a big issue is that the, but what I wanted to say about that was that he said, it's amazing how quickly the brain discards knowledge that it perceives that you no longer need.
Right.
And he said, the thing that he noticed was, is that he puts in, you know, he and his wife and his son have lived in the same house for X number of years, but sometime, and they've never rearranged furniture. And he said, we put in the light sensors and, you know, to where the lights come on if one of us walks through and they go off if none of us are in there, if there's no motion. And he said, the thing that was amazing was is that he said, like, immediately we lost our ability to walk across the house in the dark. We, like, started bumping into furniture.
That's
he
funny.
Said, you know, he said, I've lived here for all this time, and like I could completely walk across the house in the dark until I put in the light sensors. But now my brain has
yeah, you don't notice it anymore.
Yeah, it flushes out that map, you know, of where your furniture is because it doesn't need that information anymore. Oh, that was really interesting.
Well, that would be a horrible job if you had to get every device. Like, I was assuming he would get a device, use it for a while, make notes on it, whatever, and then quit using it.
I think the idea is that he's supposed to kind of like be a few years ahead of where their customers and users are.
Right.
And so he's supposed to be using everything.
Yeah, that's too much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he said.
That would be awful.
Yeah. All right, I gotta go.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later.
I got no ideas on MIDIs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't either. So.
All right. I'll talk to you.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.